This show furnished by Rowan, Gervy, and Wynn.
It's time for Gervy's Law, the intersection of law and life, with your host, injury compensation attorney, author, and mentor, Alan Gervy. Alan is managing attorney at the law firm of Rowan, Gervy, and Wynn, a workers' compensation law firm who have represented injured workers for over 35 years. Joined today by his co-host, radio personality, and television host, Carrie Kasem. Carrie brings a fresh, real perspective to the intersection of law and life, turning Murphy's Law upside down. And now, here are Alan Gervy and Carrie Kasem.
Good afternoon, Los Angeles, and everyone listening all over the world on KBC.com. I am Alan Gervy, the managing partner of the law firm of Rowan, Gervy, and Wynn. And today, as usual, on this fine afternoon, I'm here to be the managing partner of your life. And here I am with the long, straight-haired Carrie Kasem.
Got a little straightening treatment.
Have you ever been introduced that way as long, straight-haired girl?
I have never been introduced the way you've introduced me over the years.
No.
No, it's different. It's good. Some of it's great.
What did that rocker, what was that guy's name, that loser who you did a show with?
Oh, my God.
What was his name?
Oh, my God.
Axel?
No. Axel Rose. Yeah, there we go. We'll just keep it at that one.
No, it wasn't DJ Ashba. What was
no,
his name?
No, I'm not going to say it ever since you, now you said that the one you just called.
Yeah. Nikki Six.
He's great.
His hair was worse than yours.
I mean, it sticks up. He's a rocker. It's like, you know.
Well, you're a rocker. Listen to your voice. You got a little
raspiness.
It's great.
Yeah, I've been nonstop meeting since early this morning. I literally got on the air and I've been talking. I haven't stopped talking.
I can't believe that only you will work on Sunday. I mean, I take the day off. I help my kids. I, you know, play baseball. I coach baseball, and you're working.
I am. Most
7 days a week.
I try. Well, now I take a little time off for myself to get healthy, and I'm glad I did that.
Well, I'm trying to get unhealthy. That's what I do. I work so hard that I'm not healthy. So we're on different courses right now. And because I've spent so much of my life fighting for people who have had injuries, being a workers' compensation attorney, I've seen so many people treated very unfairly and the system really not working for them, especially the medical system.
True.
The fact of the matter is, here in California, there have been so many laws that have been passed that have helped out the insurance companies, the big employers, the self-insureds, the counties, the city, to get them off of their entitlement, off of their responsibility to help out injured workers through the workers' compensation system. And you know, you've heard me say this so many times when we're not talking to, you know, Molly Bloom on Molly's Game, on talking poker, or if we're not talking football with Joselio Hansen, or if we're not talking with who's your old boyfriend?
I'm going to kill you.
What's the guy's name?
I'm not going to tell you because first of all, you called my last co-host a loser. If he's listening, I'm dead. Now you're going to make fun of probably one of my boyfriends.
Well,
I'm done.
You would agree with me.
What are you talking about? No,
the guy in the Lost Boy. What was that guy's name?
Well, he's not my boyfriend, Jason Patrick.
No, not that guy. That was another boyfriend.
We have him on,
boyfriend.
Too.
Oh, no. Then he's about Stand By Me? Who was the guy you used to date in Stand By Me?
I was a kid. Corey Feldman.
Corey Feldman. Got it. All right. Anyway, the fact
I'm going to kill you.
The fact of the matter is that I see so often that big business and insurance companies don't do what they are supposed to do, especially when it comes to medical treatment. And the charges are outrageous. Trying to protect the little guy has become very, very difficult. And today we're going to talk all about that because there's, for me, a hero, because anyone who would write a book and have the guts to say what's really the truth, even though it may not be in his best interest as a surgeon, but to say what's really going out there in the medical arena in this country takes a lot of guts. And we take our hat off to Dr. Marty McCary. He is a Johns Hopkins surgeon, professor of health policy. And he's the author of a couple of very important books, the New York Times best-selling book, Unaccountable, in which he proposes a common sense physician solutions to fix the healthcare system. And then his most recent book, The Price We Pay, which is a great read, has gotten great, great reviews, as did Unaccountable.
Yeah.
I know in Unaccountable, there were so many positive reviews in terms of seeing a book that really says things that a lot of people want to say but maybe don't have the guts to say. One review said on Unaccountable, every once in a while a book comes along that rocks the foundations of an established order that's seriously in need of being shaken. And that would be our healthcare system. As far as when we talk about the latest book, a must read. There's been so much said about The Price We Pay. Dr. McCary has written for so many other journals, Wall Street Journal, USA Today, Time, Newsweek, appears on CNN, NBC, Fox News. Dr. Marty McCary, we're privileged to have you on Gervie's Law today. Welcome.
Great to be with you, Alan and Carrie.
How was that for an introduction? You probably thought I was never going to stop. You just wanted to listen.
I thought you were never going to stop.
Well, you want me to talk about your hair again?
I was starting to wonder who you were talking about.
You know, but I'm really serious about it because people do not have the guts. And I'm saying the guts because, you know, you go up against some of the large insurance companies, some of the money interests that we deal with in the healthcare system. And you have to really have some sort of commitment, passion for what you're talking about. What has given you in your background, what provided you as a surgeon that kind of passion and commitment to really say what so many want to say but are afraid to say it?
Well, Alan, I'm a cancer surgeon. I'm reminded every week of how short life is. I got to break bad news. I got to tell people that they just got a cure or partial cure. And with all of these ups and downs, it just reminds me how short our time is on this earth. And so we can either just show up to work in healthcare and pick up our paycheck every 2 weeks, or we can talk about these problems that people are afraid to talk about, but we have to talk about. And that is, these money games in medicine are now threatening the great public trust in the medical profession. Let's call it what it is. Price gouging has become a business model. Predatory billing. 1 in 5 Americans now has medical debt and collections. People are at home sick and scared to come to the doctor. That's a disgrace. I love being a surgeon. It's a great profession, the medical profession, but we got to start talking about these issues.
But Marty, you know what we always hear? We hear rising costs necessitate increased billing. That's what we always hear. And I know you've made a point in your most latest book. You talk about you've been a surgeon for many years now, and you haven't seen it. How are the insurance companies, the billers, the hospitals, some of the organizations, health organizations, how are they getting away with justifying the increased costs to the consumer by saying that there is so many costs involved in, for instance, doing an MRI or doing some other type of testing, diagnostic testing, or doing any kind of medical procedure?
Well, the blame game is so big in healthcare. Everybody is blaming everybody else for healthcare costs. The reality is, Alan, when I take out an appendix in a standard appendectomy operation, it's the same suture material, the same nursing staff I had 20 years ago, the same equipment, it's the same knife. The knife doesn't cost 20 times more. The nurses are not making more money than they did 20 years ago. Doctor salaries have been stagnant for 20, 30 years. Where's all the money going? Why are these services now 6, 8, 900% more than they were just 10, 15 years ago? It's the middlemen. It's price gouging. It's this entire army of staff and services that go to things that have nothing to do with health, but they manage this middle industry that we call the repricing industry. You know, when a hospital sends a bill, they got to have a staff to code that bill. They have to negotiate that bill with insurance. They have to send it to collections. They have to call you. They print multiple letters. Wouldn't it be better if we just had an honest and fair upfront price. And so we've a lot of special interests, a lot of stakeholders in healthcare are making a ton of money. Matter of fact, everybody's making a ton of money except for one, the patient. And just look at the Wall Street earnings. Look at United Healthcare just reported a 25% increase in earnings in their last quarterly report. How does an insurance company have a 25% increase in earnings?
What's going to be done? What has to happen for this? Is that does the whole system have to come crashing down? What's going to happen?
Well, Carrie, the good news is the revolution has started. The revolution is a movement to honest and fair prices, honest and fair medical care, addressing inappropriate care. But let's just talk about prices. There are now websites where you can go and buy medical services. 60% of medical care is shoppable. And I went to one hospital and said, how much is a CAT scan here at your hospital? Because I was defending a patient and helping them fight a bill that was egregious. And the lady told me at the radiology counter, it's $5,000 roughly, but if you go to this website, mdsave.com, you'll see that our hospital lists the same MRI for $500. You just click, get a voucher, and you come in. You pay up front. Why is this hospital listing the same service for one-tenth the price? Because they are forced to compete on this marketplace. And the more people ask for prices, the more we get prices in response. When people ask for nutrition labels, guess what we got? The food industry first said, no, we can't tell you what the nutrition contents are. It'll cost, prices will go up of food. Well, guess what? Enough people asked and we got it.
You know, Dr. McCary, we have to take a break, but I want to talk about transparency because I think that's what you're alluding to. And the fact of the matter is you use terms like gouging and middlemen, elusive money games. But I think people really need to understand exactly what you're talking about, because for the layperson, and I know you work so diligently with lay people, they don't get it. They don't plan on getting sick, or they don't plan on having a disease and then or a surgery. And then after it's done, they have no clue why the costs are so high and what it all means. How do you provide that kind of transparency? And that's the issue we want to talk about after the break. You're listening to Gervie's Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
You're listening to Gervie's Law, giving you a new perspective to enrich your life. Now, here's your host, Alan Gervie.
Yeah, new perspective. And before the break, we were speaking to Dr. Marty McCary, who is a pancreatic surgeon, Johns Hopkins, and professor of health policy. He has written his new book called The Price We Pay. It's a must read for everyone who has any interest in this healthcare industry and how patients are billed, how insurance companies are billed. And there seems to be a real dichotomy between the insurance company's payments and what someone is charged. And when we look at it, I've seen it. I had, and I've talked about this on the show previously, when I was misdiagnosed with a tumor on my kidney and was in the hospital, and they talked about spreading, that the cancer had spread all over my body, only to find out that it was a mistake. And I had a hematoma, and they took me off the operating table and said, go home. There's nothing wrong with you. For the last 3 weeks, we just screwed up. The bill was to the tune of about $250,000. I think the insurance company ended up paying maybe 10% of that. But Dr. McCary, that was the insurance company who pay a lot of people a lot of money to make sure that the bills are cut. The person who doesn't have the insurance, or where the insurance company denies the coverage, what happens when you look at a bill and have no clue and don't know how to negotiate that with the real costs involved in something like I experienced?
Well, it's ironic, Alan. You know, if airlines billed us after the flight, That is, if travel websites had no prices and we just had to trust the airlines would bill us afterwards, guess what? They would be gouging all over the place.
Yeah.
And in healthcare, we've got this same craziness. Now, look, I think we've got good people running American hospitals. And I even think we have good people in the insurance industry. But they've inherited this crazy system of a game of inflating prices for the purposes of having secret different discounts with insurance companies. Hospitals jack those prices up to some insane number, and they do it for the purpose of having a different discount offered differently to each insurance company, and it's all secret. So we're working now with the gut policymakers to say, hey, that's public information,
right?
Okay? And when American hospitals were built, most of them were built by churches. They were there to serve their communities. They pay no taxes most of the time. Most hospitals are nonprofit, and people deserve honesty and transparency.
Is this the bill that you're working on with Senator Grassley?
We're talking to Senator Grassley about the nonprofit status, basically saying, look, if a hospital is going to gouge people, if a hospital is going to take people to court and sue them over not paying an inflated bill and garnish their paycheck, which is something my research team discovered and I wrote about in the book and we published in the journal American Medical Association this summer. You may have seen a whole host of news stories on the issue. Hospitals suing patients after they take care of them and garnishing their minimum wage paycheck. It's unethical. We defend these people in court. I go to the judges. I'm their pro bono expert, and I'll tell the judge, Your Honor, I can't mow your lawn and send you a bill for $2,000 without an agreement. Where's the price? Where's the agreement? And we win 100% of the time. And we've gotten one hospital to stop suing patients altogether.
Good.
You know, there's a couple of issues here, and like a good attorney, I have a lot of follow-up questions. I want to follow up about that because it's really important what you're talking about when people can't pay and garnishing wages. But before we get there, the question becomes, how can this be more transparent? How can we know what the costs of a surgery, for instance, is when a lot of these situations are emergency? Like when you're talking about an elective procedure, and, you know, I was at the dentist the other day and the dentist said, well, if you want this done, it's going to be $900. Ahead of time, I know I can make a decision. Either you have insurance. Most of the dental insurance is useless anyway. But the point being, that doesn't happen in medicine. You go to a doctor, people are really afraid of doctors. A lot of times they're afraid to speak up and they get the bill afterward. Where is the transparency? How do you change that? I don't see it changing.
Well, actually, good stuff is happening, Alan. And right now you can look up the going price of a medical service on a couple different websites like fairhealth.org or Healthcare Blue Book. And on these websites, you can actually put in the region of the country that you're in, the procedure. You can either put it in layperson terms or the medical codes, and it'll tell you what the going average price is. Now, look, we surgeons are never going to give you a price if you have an emergency, and we shouldn't. We need to take care of you. But 60% of medical care is shoppable, and it's elective, and it can be well-defined. If you're going to deliver a baby in Los Angeles, the negotiated price ranges from $50,000 to $5,000. You want to go to the hospital that has the best value, the best price point for the highest quality. Right now, you can't see that, but this revolution is now infiltrating medicine, and doctors are saying, hey, we're going to post our prices. There's urgent care centers in Los Angeles that now have the prices of different services on a menu when you walk in there. And hospitals are doing the same. The Surgery Center of Oklahoma decided to post the prices of all the different operations you can have done. And guess what? People are flocking to Oklahoma City from around the country because they have honest prices.
How do the insurance companies negotiate these things? Because they have teams of people who get the bill, and before you know it, it's a fraction of the cost. Is it just because of their expertise? I mean, what you're talking about may be tough for a layperson. Obviously, some people are willing to do the research, are willing to look at these menus. But on the other hand, the insurance companies do it for a living to save money. Isn't there a disconnect between the person, the patient, as you have gone out and helped these people, and the insurance company who's just saving money and adding to their profits?
Well, I would say there's no one mindset of an insurance company. They're not all good or all bad. It depends on the region, depends on the organizational culture, depends on how good of a negotiator they are. Whoever's negotiating this $50,000 labor and delivery price when you can get it done for $7,000 anywhere, that's the average price nationally, is not doing a very good job negotiating. Now, there's a theory that many of us have that they may not be incentivized to negotiate good prices because
right.
since this 20%, they can only keep 20% of their revenue as profit. It's a law. Since that law was passed, they're kind of incentivized to have higher premiums. So if they're paying a lot for these high negotiated claims, they just build it into the premiums for next year. And then the way healthcare is sold on the market to businesses is through a broker industry, which not many people know is as corrupt as the subprime mortgage broker industry was before 2008. And businesses are getting ripped off all across America. These brokers take kickbacks and crazy commissions, and there's a lot businesses can do to save money on their health care.
Can you write your next book on that? Because
Please.
That's a fascinating topic.
And
it affects everyone.
Yeah, and how we avoid it. Please.
So I was able to actually to get into it at the very end of this book. The last, I think, two out of the last four chapters were on these subjects of how businesses can and are saving millions by understanding the corrupt health insurance and pharmacy broker market. And there's a lot of money to be saved there. All kinds of businesses have been calling me saying, hey, we saved $500,000. We didn't have to lay off anybody because we were able to save money on our health care and pharmacy plan by bypassing our broker and shopping more broadly.
Now, a quick question. If people are listening right now, which they are, that who own businesses, what is the first thing that they should look for to know that they're going through a broker that is, you know, gouging them?
Well, there's a new movement of brokers. By the way, brokers don't like being in a dirty business. I spoke at a broker's conference, and once I got a couple beers into them, they all told me, look, this sucks. We didn't sign up for a corrupt
right.
industry. We thought we were selling something good. They don't like it.
Yeah.
And so there's a movement of brokers now who are saying we're not going to take kickbacks on the back end from the pharmacy middlemen and from the health insurance companies, which is the standard in the industry. We're going to work on a flat sort of hourly consulting basis, and we're not going to take a commission on what you spend in healthcare, incentivizing them to sell more expensive products. There's a brand called Health Rosetta. You can go to their website. They have Health Rosetta certified brokers around the country that have taken this code of conduct ethics pledge. And I write about it in this book. You know, The Big Short created literacy in the banking industry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's what I wanted to do with this book, is create healthcare literacy for the masses.
Well, I think you have to come out here to L.A. and pitch it for a movie, because that seems to be the way that people take notice. So I don't know if The Price We Pay may become either a documentary or a feature film, but certainly consider it, because so many people think about it. You know, you mentioned, for instance, premiums. People don't understand that there may be an inherent conflict of interest when costs go up and they are allowing for premiums to go up. And what do the insurance companies do? Investing their money, making more money from their investments than they are from the premiums, but being able to justify the increased premiums because of the costs. How do we deal with that? And we only have 30 seconds. That may carry over to after the break.
Well, by the way, my last book, Unaccountable, was turned into the TV show The Resident.
Right, right.
I really enjoyed getting a taste for Hollywood.
That was on
anyway,
Fox look, in 2018, a great watch.
Well, thank you. I agree. You know, half of America has less than $400 of cash in the bank, in savings, on hand. And when these insurance companies have told their brokers, as I uncovered, hey, let's increase insurance premiums 20% next year and see if the employer bites. Then the employer says, what the hell? This is crazy. You know, I want a better deal. I'm going to fire this broker. They'll go back and forth and then say, okay, we're only going to increase it 12% this year. And they'll kind of, you know, in like a cartel, they'll kind of, you know, talk about how they were able to get a 12% increase. And of course, they blame it on everybody in healthcare. They blame it on pharma. They blame it on, and there's plenty of blame to go around.
Well, we're going to have to, we need to talk about the blame after the break. That music tells us we got to take a break, but it's interesting stuff, and we want to pick that up. You're listening to Gervais Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KABC. And we are back. And Carrie, do you realize over the last few weeks we have really focused on some of these problems in the healthcare system? We are trying to change the lexicon right here on Gervais Law. We had Dr. Brian Goldman on a few weeks ago, and he's a Canadian doctor, emergency room doctor, who's the host of White Coat, Black Art on CBC Radio and the author of Night Shift, The Secret Language of Doctors and the Power of Kindness. He talked about medical mistakes. We talked about his TED Talk, and if you look him up, Brian Goldman TED Talk, about medical mistakes. And Dr. Marty McCary, who we're speaking to now, who's John Hopkins surgeon, professor of health policy, wrote the book that we're talking about at this moment. And the fact is, he wrote Unaccountable, of course, and that's a great book, Price We Pay. Dr. Goldman said, doctors make mistakes, and we have to understand that doctors have to admit that, and the doctors have to be able to follow up and not be this put on this pedestal. Dr. McCary, you talk about medical care gone wrong, which is more of a patient term. Tell us a little bit about how this fits into the price we pay.
Well, I would say if we can turn off cable news that is trying to tell us that we're a divided country on healthcare and stop listening to the politicians who basically are talking about different ways to finance the broken system, not how to fix the broken healthcare system. We need to fix it. I think there's broad consensus. We need to address pricing failures, number one, and number two, inappropriate care. And that's medical care gone wrong. It's too much medical care. You know, in a national survey we did at Johns Hopkins, doctors around the country randomly selected, over 2,000 of them, said that 21% of all medical care is unnecessary. Medications, tests, procedures. And a new generation of doctors is starting a model of primary care called relationship-based medicine, where they spend time with you. They take care of sick people and poor people. It's sometimes Medicare Advantage pays for it for free. Sometimes it's direct primary care. Sometimes it's concierge medicine. But these doctors spend time, and from doing that, they're cutting all this avoidable care out. They're talking about treating diabetes with cooking classes, and they're managing back pain with physical therapy and ice instead of surgery and opioids. And they're getting at this sort of over-medicated. We have the most over-medicated, obese, disabled generation in the history of the world.
Hear, hear.
And it sometimes, it's the medicalization of ordinary life sometimes, and sometimes it's just lifestyle stuff. So I was privileged to profile these relationship-based clinics, which are growing like wildfire around the country, to say, hey, let's get at the root causes of illness, and let's talk about food as medicine and other important things that we have not been talking about.
I remember Michelle Obama trying to talk about food being medicine and getting the sugar out of the school system. And boy, did she get punished for that one. I mean, Hershey and Coca-Cola and all the sugar groups came down on her. And I remember the next speech, which was months later, talking about how these sugar companies were going to help her put healthy foods in school systems because she had to come back and kind of, you know, backpedal. How when there's a sugar lobby and there's these huge, major, big business interests, how are we going to make this country healthy? First of all, a lot of times you find hospitals wanting to prescribe instead of actually say, hey, you know, if you stopped eating this, this, and this and exercise, you'd feel better than this pill I'm about to give you. Well, how are we going to fix that?
Well, it is a disgrace how the food industry has basically corrupted medical science. It's a tragedy. And enough people are rising up now, especially the young millennial medical students and doctors, and they're sick of it. Look, we're just sick of the food industry telling us that every person needs to drink, say, 4 glasses of cow's milk a day.
Oh, my God.
It's nonsense. It's ridiculous. Yeah. We've got, you know, chocolate milk in every school in the country. This is absurd. And now many of us are saying, hey, sugar is probably the number one culprit out there. I was really disappointed when Michelle Obama, who I like, basically ran from the issue of healthy foods and switched to only talking about the Let's Move campaign. It's right. Almost like the industry convinced her, hey, don't touch healthy food. Don't touch the subject of food.
Convince is the word you use. Threaten is the one I use. Because that's what it seemed like. The documentaries I've seen and the different switch and the different how she had to talk and the people behind her, standing behind her, and who they were from and the big food industries. It's like a threat. You go up against them, you're going to be in trouble. And so, you know, and we are making this country more and more and more unhealthy and because of money. I mean, it's you know.
But, you know, Carrie, we can talk about it all we want, but there are some real issues here. And Dr. McCary was talking about, you know, the opioid crisis, talking about over-treatment in medicine and expensive treatment. Mm. People are making money off it. When you talk about the middlemen and the gouging, they have money interests, big pharma. How do we change things when so much money is tied to the expenses that are ultimately put on the average person and the over-treatment, which often leads to more complications, especially when it involves over-medication?
Stop allowing big business to buy our politicians. That's a big one.
Well, it's a huge one. Look, if we talk about the real issues facing this country, too much medical care, corruption, there's broad consensus. It's just cable news and the politicians are trying to divide us all by talking about these other things. The good news is I left very encouraged after doing the research for this book by a whole new generation of doctors that gets it. Nurse practitioners, physician assistants, clinicians, they get it. They see the special interest. They've overreached and we're mad because they've corrupted science. They've not ever talked about the real things that we should probably be educating patients on. When somebody comes to see us for that annual exam, instead of just looking at their triglycerides and cholesterol, you know what we should be talking about? The microbiome, mm-hmm. what they're eating, mm-hmm. sleep. You know, bad sleep drives high blood pressure, and it probably causes Alzheimer's and all kinds of things we're learning now about the importance of quality sleep and airflow in your airway. And young doctors and this new generation of those of us that are just sick of the industry telling us what to tell patients, there's a movement. It's alive and well. It is awesome. It is relationship-based medicine. And really at the root of it is a group of doctors and nurses that are saying, hey, we need to restore medicine back to its mission, because today we are prescribing twice as many medications than as we were 10 years ago. Medication disease did not double in the last 10 years.
Right. I see a lot of, for instance, failed back surgeries, a lot of failed surgeries, a lot of money spent on surgeries versus, for instance, going to a chiropractor, getting exercise, eating properly. But the first thing people say is, oh, my doctor told me I need a surgery.
If you go to a surgeon, that's what they do. They do surgery. There's very few honest surgeons that will say, hey.
Well, we're talking to an honest surgeon right now.
I really like this guy. First of all, the fact that you even said microbiome, Marty, microbiome. Who says that? Especially, I mean, doctors, surgeons, you don't hear that word come out of people. And it's so important, because if people don't understand that, that's your gut. That's your gut health. That's what's inside. And it has helped me by getting my microbiome, because I took so many antibiotics as a child and through my teenage years and 20 and me in my 20s, it destroyed my system. And by the probiotics I'm taking and now the way I'm eating, and I've gotten off of gluten and sugar and everything, it's changed my life, completely changed my life. So that needs to be talked about. It's changed my mom's life. We're getting her microbiome and her gut health back. So you don't hear that very often. So thank you for that. And I whatever movement that you have, I want to join, because this is amazing.
Well, Carrie, the microbiome is everything. It is truly amazing what we're learning now. 10 years from now and 50 years from now, we're going to be talking about your health in terms of how's your microbiome,
uh-huh,
and how's your inflammatory state. Yes. Are you at a high inflammatory state or low inflammatory state? We'll be recommending low inflammatory foods. Turns out heart disease is a disease of inflammation of the blood vessels of the heart. And so instead of just throwing meds at people, you know, we're on a race for a cure to figure out what's the pill for Alzheimer's. You know what probably causes Alzheimer's is chronic poor sleep. The evidence now is pretty strong. And if you listen to people like Peter Attia, who is another surgeon from Hopkins, who has a great podcast called The Drive, he gets into this stuff.
Absolutely. So does Dr. Perlmutter, Dr. Dale Bredesen. There are people talking about the cures for Alzheimer's, and food and sleep are it, and especially coconut oil. But there's so many different things you can do to prevent it. So it's... Yeah, we have to take a break.
We're talking
to
Dr. Marty McCary. The book is called The Price We Pay. It was just released September 10th, so you can get a copy of it if you want to learn more about it. We have one more segment with Dr. McCary. We'll be back. You listen to Gervie's Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
One, two, three, four!
Welcome back to Gervie's Law, lifting Murphy's Law to the highest level on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
You know, every time I hear that, I get angry because I have no idea what it means. Lifting Murphy's Law to the highest level. So, I know KBC put that together.
Cool.
I don't.
It
doesn't sound cool. It sounds stupid. I don't know what it is. I mean,
because we were at the beginning of the show, like 6 years ago, talking about it.
I mean, we talk about Gervie's Law. Doing everything right rather than everything that can go wrong will go wrong. And that's what we're talking about here. The book is called The Price We Pay. Yeah. And, you know, a lot of people were getting some texts here and some emails and phone calls. His Twitter feed is at Marty McCary, MartyMakary. And it's MartyMD.com. You can find out more information. I know, Carrie, you like hearing what Dr. McCary says because this is right up your alley. It should be up all of ours.
Absolutely is. Yeah.
I'm not only interested in the health part of it, but I'm really interested in what I see every day as a trial attorney, and I see the denial of treatment by insurance companies, the gouging, the price gouging. I see all kinds of behavior that should not happen in a system in this country like we have. And we have a few more minutes, Marty. Talk a little bit about the future and how we can turn what you say in your book and what you've said on your podcasts and on your Twitter feed. Tell us how we turn that into something that will actually change, where the glass is half full and that everything that can go wrong doesn't go wrong.
True.
Well, Carrie, thanks for your nice words, by the way. And
you're welcome.
It would be nice to have a nice tweet floating out there because Twitter seems to be like a nasty place.
It is.
In this world.
I will tweet
but
you.
But I'll tell you, good stuff is happening. I left so encouraged after doing this research at the businesses that are saying, why do we even have insurance? We have cash reserves that we can, where we can just self-fund healthcare, and we can shop, and we can proxy shop, and we can go direct with hospitals and doctors groups, and we can use relationship-based doctors in our workplace and talk about prevention and look at the assembly line and prevent occupational hazards. We're seeing this grassroots movement right now, and it's just awesome. We need public accountability for these institutions you're talking about, Alan. You know, when a community hospital was in your town and there was an egregious bill Like when I grew up in a small town in Pennsylvania, if the hospital overcharged somebody, you better believe people would talk to the CEO because they'd see him at the grocery store. Now we've got corporate medicine at its worst, and we've lost that public accountability. So I've got a list of 20 things you can do if you've gotten overcharged on your medical bill. 20 ways to negotiate your bills at our website, restoringmedicine.org.
Wait, you need to repeat
that. Please repeat that like three or four times.
Yeah, this is really important. Restoringmedicine.com.
Restoringmedicine.org.
Okay.
Oh, .org. Right.
Yeah, .org. We've got a Facebook page. This is a movement of everyday healthcare professionals and citizens trying to create public accountability in healthcare. Because when hospitals were built by their communities, funded by philanthropy, and they were there to serve the community for folks when they're sick and injured, not to take advantage and price gouge them at a time when people are vulnerable. And so this public accountability movement is working. We've gotten a lot of bills forgiven. We go encourage people to go to the hospital board members if they can't get through the CFO's office or the finance office. Talk to your doctor about your bill. Many times we as doctors don't even know that you've been gouged by our billing department, and we can be your advocate. When we pointed out that hospitals were suing patients, the doctors led the charge to say, this is wrong. This is violating the public trust in our great medical profession.
How do you get money behind a movement such as that when there's so much money on the other side, especially when we talk about lobbying and interest groups with the government? How do you get, and I know you're talking about grassroots, people who have lots of money to put behind this movement so that it becomes widespread and that the huge money interests, Big Pharma and some of the others, are not just simply playing a game by themselves, but have some accountability to the grassroots?
Well, it's really been independent donors and philanthropists that have funded our work. God's been good to me. And when I saw that woman who had been sued as a single mom of four kids, and I defended her in court, and when she invited me to her home, it hit me that half of America has less than $400 in cash. And I decided, look, God's been good to me as a surgeon. I'm going to fund a lot of this work myself. I don't have a family. And so we are able to charge ahead. We're able to appeal to the best in people and remind folks in healthcare why we went into medicine, and they are responding. So this movement is alive and well. And the purpose of the book was really to create literacy so people can understand what they can do on this issue.
So you're saying you're single?
Wait a second here, Carrie.
I'm just saying because there's a lot of women out
this
there.
This is not a dating site.
Look, this man is amazing. He's got his head on straight. He has what people don't have, common sense. And, you know, in fact, you don't have a family or whatever. I'm just saying you're an amazing individual. And the fact that you're funding this yourself,
I think there's others he's saying that are
Of course he's saying there's other people too. But the fact that he's putting his own money in, he believes in this, he's trying to make America healthy again, let's say that, really is, it's very altruistic, and you don't see that very often. You know, he's putting his self at risk as well. You see a lot of people that come out against doctors, against medicine, against big business, fare too well.
Right, and Marty, correct me if I'm wrong, when you go across the country and you're doing research for The Price We Pay or any other book, you meet these people, you meet the people who are suffering. People's lives are worse because of the medical treatment and the billing that they've had as a result of that medical treatment.
That's right. And, you know, I feel like everything is for a reason. I don't have a family, so I travel almost every day. Me and my team, we show up in these small, sleepy towns in America where the local hospital is gouging and hounding and suing the local community. In one town, they sued 25,000 people in a town of 28,000. And we show up in force. And I use my national platform, and we create public accountability and demand that they live up to their hospital mission or start paying taxes. And guess what the calculus results in? They realize it's better. Reputational risk, financial risk. Sometimes we talk to the hospital donors. And we tell them, hey, do you know this is going on here at the University of Virginia, the great University of Virginia? They're suing people left and right. And we win 100% of the time because this is the public accountability that American institutions need.
You know, I've dedicated my life to representing the injured, the down and out, people who need help. So I can't applaud you more. I see lawyers who take advantage of people. I can't stand it. This week in court, I saw it going on with a poor family whose son had been killed in an accident and on the job, and the employer claimed he was not an employee when he was. So many instances we see. So I really take my hat off to you. I want to know, just before we close, how people can get involved, how they can read your book, where they can find you and the cause so that you can build on what you've already established.
Well, the book is The Price We Pay. It's available everywhere. I don't recommend people buy it from Amazon, though. I support local independent bookstores first. But we're trying to create a grassroots movement. Join our effort at restoringmedicine.org. Learn about the tools to create public accountability. Learn the 20 things you can do to negotiate your medical bills. And if you're a business or work for a business, get them up to speed on how to shop for healthcare and pharmacy benefits a lot smarter, because we don't need the government. We need to push the government. But if the government doesn't do anything, and sometimes I think that's where we're going with the special interests,
right,
we can fix things with the private sector by demanding honest and competitive marketplaces. And we're seeing it already. We're seeing the MDSaves.com and the Travelocity websites for medicine, that is where you can now look at quality and safety and price and make a real value proposition.
Wow.
And it's exciting. It's an exciting time.
It is exciting. Dr. Marty McCary, want to thank you for being a guest with us today. I know Carrie is sitting here. If you were here in studio with us, she would give you a big hug.
I would. You're so awesome. And I'm going to tweet you.
Thank you.
Probably the nicest thing you heard today. You're going to get tweeted.
Tweeting you.
Thanks for being with us, and good luck. And we'll have you back on to talk more about it as things progress. Want to thank everyone for...
Thanks so much, guys.
Okay, bye. Take care. Listen, thank you for listening today to Gervie's Law. We'll see you next week.